Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1394. The topic is mindset and the title is My Worst Injury and What I Learned. So I thought this would be fun to share in the sense that you can learn from my injury rather than getting your own. It's also things that, like, lessons I've learned, like, before the injury that were tested and proven during the injury, and then lessons that I've used since the injury to continue to make my life better. So I was thinking this could be a good topic. And what's interesting when I talk to clients is very often people discredit their own accomplishments. So everybody who's listening to this, you have had a time in your life where it stunk, where it did not go the way you wanted. You had, like, an injury, whether that was physical injury, maybe emotional, mental injury. Maybe you lost a job, lost a relationship. But we've all been through some shit. I think that's just part of life, unfortunately. And too often when I talk to clients when they're facing a challenge currently, they forget the strength that they've displayed in their past challenges and past successes. They've been through craziness. They've been through tough times, and they were able to push through. So when you run into a new challenge, a new tough time, don't forget your old ones. You know, there's one example I remember. I had a client who was struggling to be consistent with food and consistent with training, and they were thinking, like, you know, I just can't do this. I can't make it work. And I had talked to them previously, and previously they had mentioned that they actually quit smoking. Now, they quit smoking cold turkey. They said that was not necessarily the way they'd recommend anybody else to do it. But there was times where, you know, they'd want a cigarette. They would step outside. They would light it, but they wouldn't pull a smoke from it. I don't even know. I don't smoke. I have no clue what the terminology is. So they would light it, but they wouldn't actually smoke it. And there was times like that. There were times where, you know, they got frustrated and they would crush a pack of cigarettes up and throw them away. But then the next day they'd find themselves buying them at the grocery store just to have, just in case. You know, so those kind of things. So they had been through something that was an extreme, extreme emotional, mental challenge. And when they were faced with a new one, here they were thinking they weren't capable. And I'm like, you've already done really awesome stuff. Like, you've already done big things. You know, so I want to share kind of the lessons I learned, and I hope that it's something that you can say, yeah, I remember whenever I had these times or whenever I felt this way. And I hope it, like, renews your motivation, your self-belief of how strong you really are. So the injury that I'm going to talk about today, now, I've been lifting for 22 years. I'm 38 years old. I started lifting weights when I was 16. I've never missed more than a week of training, and for several years, I trained every single day. So I've done a lot of training in 22 years. Now, when I first started, I knew absolutely nothing. I didn't pick up lifting from anyone. I basically kind of started, I didn't like the way I looked. And this happened when I was 15 years old. I was very skinny fat, and I didn't like that, and I didn't like the way I looked, and I was like, dang it, anyhow, you know, I kind of got mad at myself. I'm like, you should be better than this. You know, here you are, kind of fat and lazy, and there was an internal voice that says, like, well, I'm not fat and lazy. Why is this body fat and lazy? So there started to be this disconnect from who I was versus what my body portrayed me to be. So at 15 years old, I started doing push-ups and sit-ups every night. I thought push-ups would build my chest, and I thought sit-ups would get rid of my belly fat. I think it's hysterical that I thought, you know, physical activity in one area of the body would make a different result than a different area of the body. So it's just kind of funny the things you think of when you just don't know anybody, know any better. But that is kind of the thought I went with. I tried to do it every single day. It was 250 push-ups, 250 sit-ups. I missed 10 days that year. So it was still pretty damn good. I ate nothing. I thought if I ate nothing, my body would chew off body fat. So literally, I tried to eat nothing. I was anorexic. I would eat maybe one meal a day. And then I would try to burn off whatever calories I thought was in that. Now, I didn't have a lot to learn from. My mom and dad were amazing, and they helped me get magazines every month from Walmart. I remember I'd get Men's Fitness and Muscular Development magazines, and I'd read them within the first night of having them. And then I would wait another 29 days until the next one came out. We didn't have internet at that time, so there was really no one I could talk to, and there was nothing else I could learn from. But I read a bunch of magazines. I got Arnold's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, read that thing front to back like 17 times in a row. So I could learn a lot from books, but technique-wise in lifting, I knew nothing because you couldn't see anyone lift. You know, where once we started getting internet, and we got internet I think around like 17 or 17 and a half when I was in high school. And it was dial-up internet, and I remember watching videos on RX muscles in the Iron Asylum. And Dave Palumbo would interview bodybuilders, and all of a sudden I could now see people lift weights. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, when they're in this position, they talk about squeezing and feeling this, and I was like, this is amazing. You know, this is everything I've been missing. So I would come home, I would download the 20-minute video. I think it'd take like 40 minutes to download a 20-minute video. I would watch it, and then I'd go downstairs and try to replicate everything with whatever equipment I had. So it was a time where I was very, very hungry for knowledge, but there just wasn't stuff available. And I was also training at that time from a period of like self-hate. So it was like I hated this body and I hated how weak I was mentally. So I was going to punish myself to try to create a better and stronger person. So my training was very aggressive. I didn't eat anything for 2.5 years. So it led to just a horrible baseline of recovery and general health. Combining that with sleeping issues I've had since I was, you know, as long as I can remember, I had a lot of acid reflux. I had, like, esophagitis issues, and my sleep quality was trash. So even when I was younger and I was very, like, I had surgeries and stuff on my throat when I was young. So my throat is twisted and it looks odd on the inside. So I would always have choking issues when I would sleep. So I had a sleep apnea test done when I was an adult, and they said I scored off the charts, basically. There wasn't a score for how bad it was. But a sleep apnea machine really didn't help because of the way my throat was twisted. So I've had sleeping issues my whole life. I've had all that kind of crappy beginning for the first couple of years. So it led to me, I've torn a lot of muscles. I've torn like intramuscular tears. I've never detached a muscle. But I have torn some things, some serious things. I broke my collarbone bench pressing one time because I broke my collarbone 3 times in my life. I had to get metal plates put in. And then the worst injury that led to many other kind of cascading issues was a herniated disc in my lower back. So I was doing a deadlifting competition. This is before I had Brutal Iron Gym. I was doing a deadlifting competition with my training partner and some of his friends. We were doing 200 kilograms for reps, and I got to rep 14, and something shifted in my back. I remember kind of like I was grinding that rep up, and then all of a sudden, it was just this quietness, and I couldn't feel like anything in my legs. So I put the bar down, and I felt all of a sudden kind of like what felt like a wet heat. It's a very weird phrasing. But it was this wet heat that kind of went down my legs. And I was like, oh, dear God. Whatever this is not good. It was then followed by insane amount of pain that definitely told me it was not good. It was horrible. Very painful. I slept a lot for the next couple weeks. I stretched as much as I thought I could. I did what I could in the gym. I didn't miss any days in the gym. We still went and trained legs. I would just do like leg extensions and then crawl out of the machine, do leg seated leg curls, crawl out of the machine. I was doing the leg press empty while my training partner was doing like 17 plates. I was still moving, but holy crap, everything hurt. Everything. Like, you couldn't take a deep breath without it hurting. So horrible, horrible pain. Very uncomfortable, not happy about any of that. Eventually, that nerve pain lessened, and I think I just kind of grinded it away or whatever. I don't know what I did, but eventually it felt better. I had to be careful about certain positions and certain things, but overall it kind of went okay, and I learned how to train around it. Now, fast forward a couple years, when I made Brutal Iron Gym, and I was training 50 hours of clients a week in person. So I was training, you know, 10-12 hour days, and 10 to 12 hour days, not 10-hour, 12-hour days in a week, but 10 to 12 hours per day within a week. And it was just standing on my feet. Now, at that time, looking back now, I had an enormous amount of stiffness in my core. So my obliques, I mean, I could pick up anything I wanted and walk anywhere I wanted with my obliques, because they were so damn stiff and tight to protect that herniated disc. My core was very strong, but it led to that. It basically caused other muscles to have to compensate because my core wouldn't move much. This led to an imbalance of musculature tightness around my hips, which then cascaded down and caused plantar fasciitis. Horrible, horrible pain. And it was just all damn day standing for 10 to 12 hours a day on your feet. I would be destroyed. So I remember I would train my last client from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. I would say goodbye to them. I'd walk into the office, face plant onto the cement, and fall asleep for like 4 or 5 hours. Because I was just so destroyed, absolutely destroyed. It was so painful. That then led to one of the days I would typically train with a training partner after my workday. So I'd start training clients at 7 a.m. I would be done around 7 to 8 p.m. depending on the day. And sometimes I'd meet a friend and we would train at 7:30 at night. So I'd be training clients 10 to 12 hours. And then I remember one night we were squatting and I tore my right hamstring, somewhere in my adductor hamstring area. And my back clenched up and I was like, dude, I'm sorry, but I gotta go. So I went and laid in my office and just slept. Now at that time, it basically re-caused or whatever, like, all that back pain I was having before. It just basically brought all of that up. And it was all day, every day. It literally never turned off. There wasn't a single position that I could get into that didn't have pain. Couldn't lay down, sit up, you know, stand up, nothing. Literally all day, every day, pain, 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 pain. Now, at that time, I had no time to deal with it. I had no money to deal with it. And you're just trying to grind through and hope it goes away. And I remember for a couple months, it was like 2 or 3 months, and it was just wearing me out. I had nothing left emotionally, nothing left physically, just destroyed. And I was like, I gotta change something. I gotta do something. You know, at that time, I forget how old I was, but it might have been like 28, 20, 29, 30, somewhere in there. And I was like, this is too early in life to have this. I can't do this for the next 40, 50 years. So I was like, I got to make some changes. And it was actually a year where the gym was making the least amount of money. I was making the least amount of money. But I was like, I got to take care of myself. I got to do something. So I canceled my first clients of the day. I told him I just couldn't do it anymore. I had no other slots to put anybody in. So I just told him I'm sorry. And I didn't take on clients till 10 a.m. So what I did every day was from 7:30 to 9:30, I did 2 hours of self-therapy where it was stretching and bodyweight exercises. And I did that for 60 days in a row. Didn't miss a single day, still went on Saturdays and Sundays. But for 60 days in a row, I did 2 hours of self-therapy. I mean, destroyed, tired-wise. But it started to kind of feel better. I started to get more movements. You know, I could then start to reintroduce kind of weighted movements and machines, but the pain was still there, but it wasn't so, you know, it didn't hold me back so much, didn't hinder me so much. Now, at that time, I remember everything being so miserable, so painful that, you know, you're questioning, like, should I just give up lifting? But I remember thinking to myself, as like, well, what the hell would you do that for? That's just going to make everything worse. And why would it make it worse? Was because it was worse than my mental health. You know, am I gonna give up exercise and give up this passion that I love? I own a gym, for gosh sakes. It's what I love to do, and I would just picture myself being fat, lazy, sitting on the couch. And I'm like, you were that when you were 15. You were fat and lazy, and you hated it. You're not going to go back to that. That will not lead to a life that you want. You're just going to, like, you kidding me, man? Come on now. Shut up. And I would just keep working at it. So I worked on my core, stretched my hips. I took on a challenge. I wanted to kind of test myself and rebuild myself. So I took on this challenge of doing 6 a.m. cardio every single day. So every single day by 6 a.m., I would wake up and do cardio. Why 6 in the morning? Because every damn thing else got awake after that and got in my way. So I had to do it before everybody else woke up in the world. Now, if there was some reason why I wasn't going to be able to make 6 a.m. that day, maybe I was traveling home to meet my parents or, you know, doing something else, I would get up even earlier. If I had to get up at 5 a.m., 4 a.m., 2 a.m. The rule was I couldn't do it the day before. So I couldn't do it like, you know, say Tuesday and have it count towards Wednesday. It had to be on those 24 hours. That was a rule. Now, that was a goal for 10 months. I coincided that with a diet where I tried to have super high protein to see if it would help heal my injury while I was dieting. And I was like, well, we'll just see how much protein is actually beneficial. So I had a goal of eating 2 pounds of chicken a day. I ate roughly about 400 grams of protein a day, and that equated to roughly around 40% of my total calories. For those 10 months, I went from 270 pounds down to 207. So I lost 63 pounds. Along the way, I did realize that eating that much protein was useless, and it felt like horrible because it restricted how much carbs and fats I could have. So I actually had to reduce the amount of chicken, the amount of protein, and I actually lost more body fat faster when I reduced my protein. So that was a whole other experiment and lesson learned there. But that worked. So after 14 months of my back hurting every single freaking day, all day, I remember one day I ended a training session with a client and I went, holy crap, my back doesn't hurt. And it was like amazing. Yeah, it was like that moment where you go, ah, and there's like light shining down on you. And it was just like, oh, thank God. So now it would still hurt with certain movements and prolonged sitting or standing, but it finally wasn't constant. After 14 freaking months, it finally went away. It gave me a chance to breathe. That was one of the hardest times in my life. You know, I had clients 50 hours in person. I was still writing all their nutrition and training programs, cleaning the gym, you know, doing the finances of the gym. I mean, gosh, you talk about 70-hour plus work weeks. And most of it was on my feet. You know, 50 hours minimum on your feet. And you're still trying to train a couple times a week doing squats and deadlifts and all the other crazy things. So I was beating the living hell out of my body. But I started to take control of things. I started to make shifts. I made changes to my training, my nutrition, my schedule, my mindset. I mean, everything. I tried to take control of it, and it finally worked. It took 14 freaking months, but it worked. So 5 things that I learned through that injury. Number 1, running away doesn't make it go away. So I could have said, well, you know, my back hurts when I train and exercise. Maybe I just won't train and exercise anymore. That might have shifted my pain, but pain wouldn't have went away. What would I have shifted it from? I'd have shifted it from my back hurts when I exercise to I'm sad because I've lost this dream of mine for my life. I'm frustrated with life, angry at life. I maybe would have quit the gym because if I couldn't exercise, you know, and I didn't address it, I would have been in pain all the time. I couldn't have been in pain like that for 20, 30 years. My whole life would have fallen apart from what I wanted it to be if I had tried to run away from it. So the pain wouldn't have gone away. It would have actually magnified and shown itself in different ways. So running away doesn't make it go away. That was a big thing I learned, and I've tried my best to apply that to everything else in my life. When I run into a challenge, when I run into something that's stressful, I try to take a breath, realize what's going on, and recognize that I need to attack this now before it gets worse, and I sure as hell just can't let it go because it's only going to get worse. So that was one rule, like kind of one lesson that I learned, was running away doesn't make it go away. The second lesson I learned was if you want change, you have to be willing to change. This one I learned from when I decided to cut my clients to make time for me to take care of myself, to actually do my stretching and my therapy. It was the worst financial year of the gym, and I had to say I'm sorry to very good people. And unfortunately, that's been one hell of a crappy reoccurrence in business, is you just can't help everyone. And it sucks. Absolutely sucks. But at that time, I had to tell very good people, I'm sorry. I need this time for myself. And I had to take care of myself. So even though it was a huge financial risk, even though I had to say no to really good people, I did have to make that choice. I wanted something to change. So therefore, I would have had to be willing to make change. I couldn't just keep training everybody the way I was, eating the way I was, you know, and keep everything the same and then expect my back to magically become better. I had to make a change if I wanted things to change. That came from really tough choices. I mean, I hated making those choices. But I did recognize that if I wanted something to change, I had to be willing to make changes. I had to change something about what I was doing to get a different result from what I was doing. The third thing I learned was to try anything. literally anything that would remotely make sense, anything that would remotely give me a chance to be successful, try it. You might think, well, what if it fails? Oh, well, try the next thing. What if that fails? Oh, well, try the next thing. What if that fails? Oh, well, try the next thing. I will never be a failure because I will never stop. If I continue to try, then I've never failed. I've just found one way that doesn't work. I know that sounds simple, but I've tried a lot of things in a lot of areas of my life that have failed. But it doesn't mean that I'm a failure. I mean, look at, like, business. I've tried a bajillion things in business. Oh, God. Embarrassingly so. And they didn't work, but my business is more successful than it's ever been. Even look outside the gym, like finances. I'm making the most money I've ever made in my entire life now. And that's come even spite of all of my poor financial choices. And I'm still here. You know, one of my biggest flaws was underselling myself when I was younger. I didn't charge enough. I was very good, but I didn't charge enough. And that's something I've always wrestled with because I just want to help people. That's what I got into this for, was help people. But I do realize that I need to pay my own bills, keep the lights on in this gym. You know, I need to be able to afford what, like, normal basic things of life if I want to be able to continue to help people. So that's something I had to learn. Relationships. You know, I'm insanely blessed. I'm married to my soulmate, the person I think God made for me. But man, that took a long time. We didn't meet until 2019. So I've only been married for 2 years and I'm 38 years old. So you can do the math there. It was a long freaking time that, you know, you're trying things relationship wise. You're trying to understand where you think your place is in life in that aspect. And it finally worked. You know, I got where I wanted, always wanted to be. So I've tried a lot of things in my life and they've failed along the way, but I am not a failure because I didn't stop trying. That's what I would encourage you to do, is try anything. If you're like, well, I don't know if that's going to be successful. Well, you're looking at it too short term. It might work, it might not work, but it doesn't mean whether it's success or failure. It either worked or it didn't work. But as long as you keep trying things, you've never failed. You only fail when you stop, right? That the outcome is it didn't work. Like, you know, that would be failure. The outcome was I tried some things, they didn't work, so I stopped. That is failure. But if I tried some things, they didn't work, and now I'm trying new things, that's not failure because I'm still in the process. Stay in the process, right? Stay at it. Just keep working. You know, if you're not done, then the outcome isn't, like, concrete. You don't know what the outcome is yet because you're continuing to try more and more. So stay in the process. Try anything. Lesson number 4, decide once. That's it. If you think you want to do something, weigh the pros and cons, and then make your decision and follow through. So when I decided to do that 6 a.m. cardio every single day, as part of trying to get my weight down to help my back. I lost 63 pounds. That's pretty damn successful. And part of that was doing that 6 a.m. cardio every single day for 10 months. In 10 months, I didn't miss a single day. What is that, 300 days? I didn't miss a single day of 6 a.m. cardio. And why? Is because I didn't decide each morning when the alarm went off. There was probably not a single morning of this 300 mornings that I actually wanted to get up. But I wasn't deciding on the morning. I decided before I started. I decided that this is something that I think will help me. I should do it if I want the outcome I want. So I'm going to do it. That's it. I decided one time. Decide once. So if you know getting up in the morning helps you live a better life, you know, getting up, maybe you exercise for 20 minutes before the rest of the world gets in the way. Decide one time. You might have to renew that decision every month or 2 months, but you don't decide every morning. You sure as hell will not want to get up every single morning. Don't decide each morning. Decide one freaking time. You can do it month by month. Say, you know what, this month, for the next 4 weeks, I will wake up early. I will exercise, and I will see the effect that has on my life. I will then decide in 4 weeks whether I want to continue that or not. But I'm deciding today. When that alarm goes off, you get your ass up out of bed. Don't you dare hit that snooze button. You set that alarm across the room. I've set the alarm on my phone and then slid it on my carpet across the room before, because I have to get my ass up out of bed to turn it off. You decide once, you follow through. The fifth thing that I learned was I own my future. If I want a specific future, it is up to me to create it. I might not know all that it'll take to create that yet, but I'm going to find out along the way, and I'm going to own my choices. If it means I have to get up super early, if it means I have to stay up super late, if it means I have to say no when that's uncomfortable, if it means I have to say yes when that's uncomfortable, but I own my future because I own my choices. I own my actions. If I want a specific future, it is my role, my responsibility. It is my work to create it. So those are lessons that I learned from this injury. And I've had to relearn and reapply a million times over. But they are lessons that have helped me better my life over the years. I love where my life is right now. And I'm very blessed to be here. But I've also earned it. These five lessons can help you continue to improve your life. So again, lesson number one, running away doesn't make it go away. Lesson number two, if you want change, you'll have to be willing to change. Lesson number three, try anything. Lesson number four, decide once and follow through. Lesson number five, I own my future. I wish you the best of luck towards whatever your goals are. If there's anything that I can help with, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Reach out, let me know. But don't forget how strong you are. You've been through a lot yourself. Continue to refine that strength. Continue to remember that strength and continue to build upon it. Cool. Well, if you like today's podcast or the podcast in general, please consider sharing the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people we can help. The whole goal is to help each listener live their healthiest and happiest life. Sounds kind of like a, you know, boring tagline maybe, but it's true. Like, that's what I really want this podcast to do, is just, I hope if you listen to this that it makes your life better in some way. If it does, please consider sharing it so we can help more people as well. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast, so that we can keep doing this every single freaking day and keep it for free. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. I give an hour to it every day, so I really appreciate the financial help. It's just that way it makes this more sustainable. So thank you very much. You can consider giving at our website at www.brutalirongym.com. We have options for a one-time donation, monthly donation, yearly donation. Anything you do just helps keep this podcast up and running. It all goes right to the fees, so I really appreciate your help with that cost. Thank you. If you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.